People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or theycpeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to another edition of People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg and I'm here with my friend and co-host, Larry.
Good morning, good morning.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well.
It's good to have you in the studio today.
Nice to be
taking
here.
Taking you away from probably doing nothing from what I
gather. You're right, actually. Nothing.
But no, we had a great week and I'm going to tell you why. Last week we... For the first time, we talked on the air about this blanket drive thing.
Right.
And really, we know, we're not naive. Shreeja is driving it because she talked about it on her show.
Yeah.
And everybody listens to Shreeja.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a joint effort thing we were going to do. We're going to do it on our show and like make it our little initiative for the next couple of months when it's cold. Just get blankets.
Definitely.
Just hand out to homeless people who don't deserve to be on the street. And we could see them and help them, do something for them, right? It was like a gesture.
Yep.
And we thought it'd be cool to do this. And last week we talked about it on the air, and then Monday, so Sunday was the show. Monday, yesterday, we're recording it on Tuesday. A ton of people show up with the blankets, like bags and bags of blankets. And they left and we're like, oh, that's awesome.
They showed up here at the station?
Yeah, they brought them here to the station, which we'll give that information in a second. Yeah. If you want to drop off a newer, lightly used blanket, we'll tell you how in a second. But this is just the story. So then I see all these blankets, and then it hit me. Oh, my God, our show was on. I wonder if this
on Sunday and Monday, yeah, here all this stuff comes in.
I wonder if this came because we spoke about it, and someone said, you know what, let's do it. So I'm going to take credit for it until find out otherwise.
Absolutely, I absolutely believe it. I think we were the shot in the arm.
It was worth at least one day of feeling good about that this show did something. We know it
Come
does
on,
a lot of good
give it
for,
more credit than
no,
that.
We know. We know it does a lot of good for individual topics and such for a lot of people. But something very general like this where it seems almost forgotten some days how many homeless folks are around here. I'm reminded every time I go to any store, and I'm not one of those people who gets annoyed at it. I almost get like, when I can't do anything, I get really like down on myself. Like if I pass somebody and I know I can do something, I'll try to do something. But it's happening so often, almost every intersection, every parking lot, seeing a mother with a kid and the sign. It's like, I hope they're telling the truth. I would never think they aren't. And then he would go through these lengths to scam people out of money. So I'll always believe that those people are genuinely there for and they don't want to be there, not just trying to make money. But I always see that, and I take it for granted sometimes that this is a massive, massive problem. And it's only reason I take it for granted is my haste in my life and my craziness and my schedule. Of course, sometimes we just go about our lives just trying to get through our own situations, whatever they are.
Yeah.
And you take for granted the simple things, like having a place to go home at night and having some blankets to wrap up in at the very least, you know? So
it is a problem. I told you earlier, before we went on the show today, that my sister is now going to be looking for a place again. This is going to lead into segue into something else.
Yeah, don't get into the... Let me just... Before you get to the story...
Okay, go ahead.
No, no, no. Only because I don't want to lose sight of people trying to... If you want to bring blankets, lightly used or new, nothing like you've been using for 5 years, like you use it every night and you're like, I want to get a new blanket. Like if you have one that you maybe use as a show blanket, like around the holidays, maybe you had it out once or twice or around Halloween or something, you know, like... Or a blanket that you just don't use that often, or a new one that you just haven't used... Bring it to us. You could bring it to our station. What?
I'm trying to say something.
Okay.
Afghans. A lot of people have Afghans. They don't use them for anything other than to drape them over the couch or a chair.
That's true.
So and Afghans would be good too, and they're really warm.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Sometimes like a fleece Afghan or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, bring them to 6050 Hellier Avenue, Suite 100A. It's our station address. You could also just go on our website, bali923fm.com, and there you can get our address. You could bring them here or bring them to any of Dr. Panu's offices, yeah. which is like, there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I could give you them all.
Five or six, right?
Yeah, I think there are like at least. And it's yeah. like, go on his website or even on our website, you'll find his locations. So there's one close to you somewhere, whether you're in Fremont, yeah. whether you're in Sunnyvale, whether you're in San Jose, uh-huh. Milpitas, whatever. There are locations that are going to be near you if you're listening to this in California, in the Bay Area. So that's yeah. something. So do that. We're going to do this through Thanksgiving or up until around through the holidays. So we want as many as we can so we can help as many people as we can. And we're doing pretty well so far, but we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
So.
And we got to stack them all the way to the ceiling, right?
That's, yeah. That's exactly. And right now we're only about 1/8 of that way.
Yeah.
Not even. So yeah. talk about your sister. You were saying about her being without a home, sort of.
Yeah, again. And this is, it goes way back. But anyway, she was married to a narcissist, and this is something else we're going to talk about on the show today.
Yes.
But we'll kind of get into that a little bit later. But anyway, so she is. So, and it hits home with me, of course, because it's very personal. And she, fortunately, she does have somebody to go to in the interim until she does find a place. But it just brings that kind of stuff to mind because it's around the holidays.
Yeah.
And you're preoccupied, even though she doesn't have to be out until after the first of the year, which you brought up to me. That's great, but it's always on her mind. And, you know, it kind of just screws things up that way.
Yeah, and listen, it's never easy to go through any kind of a move situation, especially when you're forced out of a situation that you're comfortable in. Think
yeah.
about that.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure there's 99% of the people listening right now are sitting and not worried about next month having to go into a new home. But put yourself there for a second, right? Imagine like you're in a place and something happens and you're being told you got to leave. Whether or not some people aren't as fortunate as maybe your sister is in having places to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a situation where you end up on the street where one day you're feeling like my life is normal and everything's okay. And one little thing can turn it upside down.
Yep.
And now you're dealing with the reality of what do I do with all my stuff? How do I get through day to day when it's like, you know, 50, 45 degrees is really cold when you're outside all night. It gets into your bones.
It's not like you can just be like,
I'm going to go hang in the car. It's tough. Put yourself there sometimes just to remind yourself how human we are and can feel to be in that situation. Have a little empathy, if you will.
True.
Because it's tough. And there are a lot of people that get there and did not expect they were going to be there at any point in time soon or ever. Because you really don't know. Sometimes you're just blindsided in mm-hmm. life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's tough.
Let's tie that in since we have a second.
Okay.
Narcissism is a topic you brought up your sister, right? Mm-hmm. Like she was married to a very, very shifty, narcissistic, egomaniac
psychopath. Liar. Is it psychopath the problem?
I think he would definitely be considered a sociopath.
Or sociopath. Which
one is
it?
I think he's more of a narcissist. Maybe he is a sociopath, actually, now I think about it, more than
sociopath.
A narcissist. Yeah.
But yeah, but he was a huge fraud. And can I spend a couple
Please?
Minutes on
yeah.
this? To go back a little bit in history, she was married to this guy for 7 years. He never did have a job, actually, when she married him, because he had just had a stroke. Now, this is a guy, you know, he's like 15 years younger than me.
Right.
And he had a stroke. But he didn't eat right. But anyway, so they ended up getting married and moved into his mom's house, which was a really nice big house in Sunnyvale. And from that point on, his health started to go downhill again, and he had kidney failure. Mm-hmm. And he was on dialysis for 2-3 months, and then eventually my sister gave him her kidney. But in the interim, during this time, he actually created a company called True North Global, and you know about that story.
I was involved in this mess.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
Just because we did stuff work together, right?
Yeah, exactly. So long story short, he actually built a lot of people out of a lot of money, and he had actually sold the idea to a lot of people that he had sold his company to SAP for well over $2 billion, I believe it was. Somewhere in the billions. And he was himself a billionaire. So I, at one time, on paper, was worth $37 million.
Because
of what he said.
He said, right. So he lied
exactly.
to you.
Yes, and everybody
your sister
else.
And everyone
oh,
he knew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Board of directors, these were seasoned professionals, too. He even built them.
Yeah, he had very, very famous credible people involved in his scheme.
Yes, he did.
It wasn't like he was just doing it to a couple of family members. Mm-mm. He had a whole bunch. I mean, he brought people out of secure, high-paying, good quality jobs.
Yes, he did.
Into his orbit, which was a house of cards with no, absolutely no foundation of truth.
Right.
Imagine that. I mean, there's movies. There should be a movie about him. I mean, I don't understand how this isn't more of a big like news story.
Well, we've talked to my sister about that and the whole family, and I think that maybe eventually it might be something like that, but not, I don't think a movie.
Like the ID Channel or something?
Well, like something like 48 Hours, but not something like that.
Or like People Investigates or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Because this was big. I mean, it really was. And now he's
the people's names he would bring in and talk, he knew. He even knew them.
Well,
he knew them enough to be able to like, because I was at Tech, TechCon with him.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And every single high executive that was talking on the panel or was speaking knew him, came up to him, did interviews with him, talked to him.
But you know why that is? Because he had the show.
Yes, I know.
He had the radio show.
But they knew his name, and he was relatively new on that radio show.
Because
he wasn't on the air long enough to have that type of fame or notoriety
as a
radio guy.
Well, you're right. So he was in the tech industry prior to that anyway. So,
right.
Yeah.
He for whatever reason, people knew who he was. Mm-hmm. Maybe he just lied and embellished it, but he definitely knew people. Yeah. And it was shocking to me because that would have made me think there's no doubt he's telling the truth. But anyway, you are worth that much money, but in reality, you're just nothing.
I was thinking about all
right
these
now.
People I was going to help, you know, and I already had it all given away almost.
Yeah,
but,
I believe that.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I the only thing I wanted out of the whole thing was a car.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I wanted, you know, just a new car. Because I always drove around a truck all those years because of my business, you know.
Right, right.
Anyway, so he's actually, they got divorced. We busted him on my niece's wedding night.
Yeah, of all times, right.
During the recess, it wasn't planned that way. And so that was the night that he got busted, October the 16th. And the rest is history. But he's now in jail.
He
is in jail, and he has been for 2 years, going on three now.
See, I wasn't sure that was the case. I thought he was still functioning.
It was for elder abuse because he bilked his mother out $1.6 million.
Yeah.
Cash.
Yeah. So that's the only reason he's in prison right now.
Yeah.
Not for swindling all these other people.
No.
Anyway, so this brings up a topic. Hearing that story. This is one incident, right? One isolated incident that ruined a lot of lives.
Yes.
But you know, as well as I know, that there are so many sociopathic or narcissistic people in the world. And now with social media, they control more than you realize, right?
They really control
a lot of people's lives. They get people into their web of lies.
And it's easy for them to do it.
And
that
of
way.
Course, now we're all so gullible because what's real and what's not anymore?
We
everything
don't know
plays
anymore.
Out in front of us in real time on social media. So we're seeing things on social media unfold, whereas you used to see video footage maybe of what happened hours and days later. Now you see it all happening. It's a very, very strange time. So because of that, we're all sort of like scarred and jaded and think everything happening could be real because it seems like every day there's crazy stuff happening.
And there is.
But some people have a hard time even defining what narcissism against sociopathic behavior is. Like they're not exactly sure which is which and how to differentiate. So we thought we would do a series because a lot of people's lives have been ruined by this. And I bet you there are people listening right now who have husbands, wives, parents who are narcissistic and maybe not on an evil level trying to kill or hurt people, but they are harming people with their behavior. And how do you deal with those behaviors? If it's your mother or father, you can't just betray them or, you know, abandon them. You have to figure out how to deal with it so they don't ruin you.
Well, not just deal with it, but you have to find out. Is this who they are?
Right. Or are they even
narcissists?
Or do I just think, because a lot of people don't even know.
No, they don't.
Because they're so used to the behavior. They think it's normal behavior and not realizing what that, a lot of parents do this. I hate to say it. They don't know they're being narcissistic. But when they put pressure on their children and put their own, like almost like their, what do you call that? Projecting their own things onto their children.
Yeah.
And they don't realize you need to get A's. You need to be this person or it would offend me. That's narcissistic because you are doing that on your behalf because you need to feel better. Has nothing to do with your child's happiness. But a lot of people do it and they don't think, they're not doing it with bad intentions. They're just doing it, right?
You're living your life through somebody else because you couldn't do it.
Right.
So you want them to finish that for you.
I wonder, Lara, if somebody is a narcissist, for argument's sake, and you said all of the things that would, in front of that person, that would basically punch him in the face over, or hit him over the head with, oh my God, here's, I guess I am a narcissist. Would they recognize their behaviors in themselves?
Well, in Kurt's case, when he was confronted, because we did it, we built up a paper trail on him.
Right.
To go to my sister with. Right. Because we knew she wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So, and we had everything down to the T. And anyway, when he was confronted that night, he actually admitted to certain things. So I guess, you know, it's not
impossible. Also probably felt in some weird way.
Relieved.
Like the jig was up and
yeah, really.
It feels good to stop living in a web of lies. Because you know how hard it must be to try and contain all that and like manage it so it doesn't get... Because, I mean, you're living every aspect of your life is like juggling and trying to hide.
Yeah. And it's a lie. The
keeping
whole
one
a lie.
Person from talking to another person from
and
this
that
and that.
Is another thing that they try and do. Now, this is common. This is a common thread with all narcissists.
Right.
Is that
or sociopaths, right?
Probably. I think so. They're very closely related anywhere. I think they have to be.
Well, a sociopath is more where it controls groups of people, bigger, like a whole lot of people, which I think Kurt did. And a narcissist just focuses everything on themselves. They're really more worried about getting everything for themselves and doing things to cater to their own.
But they're still
desires.
Using people to get there.
Yeah, but it's usually not meant to be like getting masses of people. Like cult leaders are sociopaths because they need to have control over a lot of people.
Right, right,
for them to feel powerful. His case, I think he's more about just doing what he has to do to swindle people out of money until he couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, and he never gave it up. You know, he never gave it up. He still, even after he got caught, they got divorced, he was still doing a scam.
See, this is why I think it's a good idea to have this show.
Oh, it's a great idea.
I think even differentiating for myself, I know the difference of the two, but I'm still having a hard time deciding whether Kurt is... Oh, sorry.
What?
I said his name. I still have a hard time determining what he is, but I do believe he was a sociopath. But this is where I think people need to know. Because sociopaths are dangerous on a whole other level because they can get groups and thousands of people to rally behind them. And a lot of times they're very charismatic, super charismatic.
And he was.
Yeah, he really was.
He was very charismatic.
He almost made you believe he was like a Muppet. He was like a happy Muppet. Like he was like, ah, you know, you want to like, hey, I can't explain it. He was a caricature of himself.
Yeah.
And now I see that as one big sheen of lies.
I mean, I wish we could go back and listen to some of those shows, but
I don't.
Well,
I don't hear him.
But he was. I mean, that way, you know, people could really see. I mean, how perfect this guy did it.
Yeah,
I
he mean, was really calculated.
He
man,
he really was.
What almost genius levels?
Yeah, and he was extremely bright, though. By the way.
Well, I think he was really a good talker more than he was bright. He was smart, obviously. You can't do a lot of this without being, but he had such a savvy to him and how he operated. And again, we're talking about one person. And it's funny because I don't really want to get caught up in one person in a sense because there's just so many things, but it's really a close to home story. I've known several people who've gone through situations similar to this with false identity and like double lives and all that stuff. And it's really crazy when it happens in your orbit and you see things like this unfold with people you know that you're like, how could they not have seen the signs? How could they not? But when you're close to it, it's hard.
It is hard because my sister didn't and she lost all of her friends. I mean, down to the last one, they were gone. And now she's gotten some of them back, the ones that really did care for her. And thankfully, and that's really good for her. But she is writing a book, and she's well into it.
Yeah.
So she is eventually going to have that published. But she wanted to come on the show because she really feels like, you know, this could really be a huge help to people that are out there and some of the signs to look for.
Yeah.
Because there are some signs.
I think there are more signs than we realize. And I think a lot of times, like I said, if it wasn't for the fact that we don't want to believe something. You know that? Like when, you, oh, know, I know when you that. Find out something that you don't want to believe, and sure. you almost will tell yourself everything, every reason why it can't be. Even though if you really were truthful with yourself, you'd realize it's...
In your gut, you know it's true.
That's that weird part of being human, right? Because we all want to believe something. Like, it's so terrible when you see situations like where, say, I remember that, I just read that story about the Olympian girl, Simone Biles with Bowles.
I saw that. Yeah, I can't remember that.
I think it's Boyles or Biles or whatever. Her brother murdered somebody, and like... He was young. He's like a young kid, like 19, whatever, 20. And apparently he killed somebody and he was arrested for murder. I don't know if he was convicted, but he was arrested for it. And it was like pretty clear that he was the one that was involved in this. And she's a huge celebrity because she's like broke the record at the last Olympics, most like medals or whatever. She's still going. She's still in the world level, elite level
competition.
Yeah. Gymnastics. And she came out after it happened, was just like, please, like, allow me my, I'm trying hard to process how my brother could do such a thing, and like, please respect my privacy because I'm not sure how I'm supposed to act or what I'm supposed to say. And I thought about that. It's like, you know, how do you handle it? This is her brother. She's lived through every day of her life probably with this guy. Mm-hmm. She probably had the typical brother-sister relationship where, like, you know, you get along real well, you understand each other real well, you go through the same things, same parent problems or whatever, but they probably fought all the time too, or argued or whatever, like brothers and sisters. But you go through your whole life that way. And now all of a sudden the same person who you're probably closest to in so many ways is now convicted or has been arrested on something that's almost vile and disgusting, and you start to question life. Like, what do I do now? Like, this person I never would have thought would do this. And now look what's happened. Now my life is forever changed by this person's decision, but I still feel something for him because it's my brother. You know, there had to be reasons. You always try and justify things. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that's having a heart, I guess. That's having a soul, I should say.
I think everybody should be that way, but I think there's a point to where you just have to really, you have to realize it really did happen, and you can't deny it anymore.
Let's talk a minute just about this. This is going to be a whole topic, probably
it's
one, two, three shows.
It's going to be pretty heavy, too, and we're going to get a professional in the field.
Yeah, yeah.
We will.
Yeah, so what I was thinking is what they talk about after you've been through this, and say your sister's situation and yours. You were duped and swindled just the same. Bamboozled, I don't know, pick your word.
Duped?
I don't like duped, it's a little too harsh. I like bamboozled
especially
because it sounds
funny. Especially
when
it comes
funny.
To me.
You've been hoodwinked.
There you go.
So you've been hoodwinked.
Deceived.
How do you
is
get
the
over
proper
it?
Way.
What it? Like you thought you had all this money, you thought you were going to be able to take care of your kids and your grandkids stuff, and then all of a sudden now you're back to this reality of all of this was a lie. How do you bounce back? Do you just go day to day? Do you try and sort things out? How do you come to terms with it with like a therapist? What do you do?
Well, some people need that. But I mean, I was on the fringe of it. Let's say I wasn't really, it didn't really mentally affect me that bad. I thought, I always kind of in the back of my mind thought it was too good to be true. And so 2 months prior to this whole thing going down, I had already kind of like cut off ties with my sister and brother-in-law for another reason. But I did. I'd had enough. And so it was at that point in time I already figured it out pretty much and started doing investigation.
You were doing investigation. I remember hearing about a lot of
it. Yeah, yeah.
You were doing your best like ID channel level of
investigation. I got really, I mean, I was surprised at the help I got. Really? So, and so there's no denying, no way you could ever deny this kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was that good.
True.
But I was just a part of the team. It was my brother-in-law, Bruce, my nieces, and my nephew.
Yeah.
And we all really had our own things that we were doing at that time. Good team.
Yeah, good team, thank God. Makes it a little easier. You know,
so I was probably the least affected by it because I just didn't, I'm used to, I've had things going in my life to where I was disappointed. So it was really like, okay.
Right.
So what's new?
Yeah.
But I didn't feel sorry for myself at all.
You can't.
So
that's something you can't do.
And I didn't. So I moved on and I was okay. But I think my son was really heavily hit by it because he was told to quit his job. And this guy was going to set him up in business doing video video production or something like that mm-hmm. through another company that he apparently was part owner of. Mm-hmm. So my son did. And he did all this homework that this guy told him to do. We'll give it out his name, but we'll do it another time. And he did. And he exceeded this guy's expectations, right? Mm-hmm. So finally it comes down to he finds out it's a scam. And he says, "Dad, what do I do?" And I said, "Don't worry about it." I said, "I have a business in Santa Barbara." I said, "I'll just let you deal with it and take it over, and I'll build it back up." Because at that time, I was winding it down
right.
because of my business in San Francisco. So it didn't happen. And to this day, I am paying for that, too, because I'm helping my son with that business. He's working with somebody else, too. But supplementally, he's going to take this over someday.
So it meant you were taking on more work again, in a sense,
yeah,
right? But you're doing it for the greater good of your child, right?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he did fine.
And I'm sure it's worked out.
It has.
Yeah.
It has. So it worked out okay. And everybody else...
Bellissimo.
Yes. Thank
That's
you
his for, company, by the way.
Oh, thank you for the plug.
I got to tell
never
you,
done
you would
before.
Never plug yourself, and I'm not one to do that. Like, I'm not one to, but I just have to say,
Bellissimo.
You're like in the top 1% in the world at what you do. And that's amazing.
Not in the world. In
no,
this country,
absolutely
sure.
in the world, dude. Like, there's not enough people.
Country.
But I mean top 1% in the world. Like, only like 1% of the world does this. Anyway, probably less. But you're in that
many.
Top 1%. You really are. I mean, you do exceptional work, man.
Yeah.
It's just the only thing I don't like is you have a very Italian name for your company, and you're not Italian.
No, but you know what? How I came up with that name was Bruce.
What? Oh,
my ex-brother.
He did help you?
Yeah. He said, "Larry, he says you need something to describe your business."
It does sound, because Italian, you think of a lot of polished stones and like beautiful.
Well, it's beautiful
architecture,
in Italian.
Yeah.
It's beautiful,
yeah.
right?
You think of architecture and such.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, right. He does amazing work with like, how would you describe it?
I do repair and restoration. On concrete and stone mostly, but plaster as well.
You got to see, like, he took like these concrete, like dank floors in our old building. Literally what you would see in like the worst basement, and he polished them, and they looked like it was
granite,
it was
actually.
Like marble or granite.
Yeah.
And I every day I would walk on them, I'd be amazed at how did he take these floors and make them look like this. I still don't know.
Yeah,
I still don't believe it's real. I thought they just moved granite. You moved granite in on as floors and told us it was polished concrete.
Yeah.
And you did the same thing in my office. I actually chose to have my office back there done that way because of that style.
I didn't do it.
Well, you buffed these floors.
Totally different thing. Not,
yeah, but it
not
was,
even close.
But he buffed them. I mean, they were way nicer than it would have been.
Yeah, they're way nicer than they were, but it's not the same thing.
Well, you probably didn't try
But
as
I
hard
do repair and actually reconstruction in a lot of things. I just reconstructed what they call a concrete board form chimney in Santa Barbara. Now, mind you, they had like what they call blowouts that were huge, you know, several feet long and 6 inches deep and maybe 18 inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
They could have, I mean, legally, the client could have make them tear it down and repour that whole fireplace,
right?
Which is 30 feet high.
Right.
So I went and reconstructed portions of it to match everything around it. And this is raw concrete with no paint or stain or anything over the top of it. So put that in your hand.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what Larry does. And if you want to find the Bellissimo
architectural finishes.
Doc Tom?
Bellissimo
Architectural
Finishes.com.
That's where Larry can be found.
Wow,
it's very
how nice of you.
But I'm just joking. I only reason is because I take
I'm
a
cheaper
percentage.
Cheaper than the alternative. Buddy.
The only reason I say it's expensive is if you mention it this show, then I get an extra. I get 10% off the top.
That's all right. Okay.
I'm just joking.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, thanks, Larry, for all today. We're gonna. So that's gonna be our next couple weeks, and we also have some returning guests that I don't want to mention because I got to get the dates sorted this week.
Mm-hmm.
But I have some guests returning that we're gonna be doing some follow up shows, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
And the holidays are coming, so Blanket Drive. Go to our website, Bali923FM.com. Find out where our building is. Find out the Dr. Panu locations. Drop off new or lightly used blankets so we could distribute them to homeless people over the coming weeks. Last thoughts from you?
Bring some blankets in.
That's it?
Yep.
Nothing else?
No. Go out and do your best to help somebody. I always say that.
All right, yeah, that's good. Yep. And if you carry around socks.
How many minutes do I have?
We have like a minute 10.
Oh. How long are you going to take?
Just go ahead. No, I'm good. I'll let you talk the rest of the way. I might leave.
Well, I mean, it's just, you might leave. It's just, again, and I've said it many times, I feel really grateful to be a part of something like this show. where most people don't have that advantage like we do.
Right.
And in our indirect way, you know, we've been able to help a lot of people through other people. And I'm always very thankful for that and very grateful for the fact that I've been able to do that.
Yeah.
And that's all. I mean, I don't ever want anybody to think I take advantage of it, because I don't.
None of us, I think, should take that advantage, take advantage of it, because take it for granted, because it's a,
it's
one of the very few things I get to do each week where I'm like, oh, all right, this is not totally not about me at all.
Yeah.
It's about everybody else. Anyway. Yeah. Thanks, dude. Appreciate your help.
Thank you, too.
Next week, we'll be back, another edition of People Helping People on Bali Radio, Bali 92.3 FM.